down to Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. And verse number 7. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness. I want you to notice here the Holy Spirit is speaking to us. The Bible says, let he that hath ears hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. One of the places that the Holy Spirit speaks to us is in church. And he wants us to hear what he's saying. And he gives us instruction and says, today, if you will hear my voice, notice we can exercise an option right here. It says, harden not your hearts. It's possible for a person to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit and then to harden their hearts. This text is found 4 times in the Bible. You can read it again later in verse 15, chapter 4 and verse 7, and then back, these are quotes of Psalm 95 and verse number 8. And so it warns us. It warns us all. It says, today if you'll hear his voice, harden not your heart. Don't let your heart get hard. And I want to speak this morning on the subject, no response is my response. No response is my response. A well-known preacher was in a meeting one time, and I happened to be one of the speakers in that meeting. And after I spoke, this prominent man who just, I just consider him a real great man of God, approached me and said, Brother Cole, he said, I want you to pray for me. I thought that would be an honor. Wow. And he says, you just gave a good message from the Word of God. He said, and my response was no response. I found myself that all I wanted to do was get my hat and leave. He said, I want you to pray for me. He says, because I have been this way for some time. And I know it's not right. I have not responded to a sermon in a long, long time. And in the meetings that I go to, I hear some of the greatest preachers alive. And sermon after sermon after sermon after sermon, he said, my response is no response. Would you pray for me? He said, my heart is hard. Today, if you will hear his voice, says, harden not your hearts. Don't harden your hearts. I think my respect for this man just went up. I always did respect him, but whenever you find someone who can confess their faults, who's that humble, my respect for them goes up. That man's about ready to get the help he needs. When somebody says, I need help. There may be some here in this room who have literally heard me preach hundreds of times. And your response has always been no response. No response. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Now, before I get to my illustration, I'd like you to turn to 1 Thessalonians 2, and I want to just give you 3 points here on what our response should be to the Word of God. what our response should be to the Word of God. And as you're turning to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, I want to just read a verse out of Mark chapter 4 and verse number 20 in the parable of the sower. It says this, "And these are they which fell on," now listen to these next two words, "good ground. These are they which fell on good ground, such as hear the word of God and receive it." Receive it. The word receive means to accept, to take to one's own, to acknowledge as one's own. He says, "Blessed are they that hear the word of God and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60-fold, some 100-fold." Notice that the Word of God can be fruitful. It can be received, and then it can grow in our lives. But it must be sown on good ground. It must be sown on good ground. Now, let me show you three things here very quickly that we're supposed to do with the Word of God. Number one, we are supposed to receive it as the Word of God. Receive it as the Word of God, number one. In 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 13, it says, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing." Wow, what a statement. I mean, Paul is just thrilled here, isn't he? He says, "We have just thanked God without ceasing for this." What's this? He must have got $1,000 in the offering. No. "Because when you received the word of God which you heard of," what's the next word? Us. What does that mean? That means God uses humans to preach the Word of God. When you receive the Word of God from us, you received it not as the Word of men, but as it is in truth, what? The Word of God. Number one, receive it as the Word of God. Now, I know preachers can be wrong. I understand that. That's why you got to go home, and I'll show you the next verse what to do then. You got to study on your own. But we're supposed to receive it as the Word of God. Have you ever run across somebody who said this? "Well, that's just your interpretation." There's no help in that person. No help in that person. That's just your interpretation. No, Paul said, when you receive the Word of God from us, you receive it not as the Word of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God. God uses men to preach His Word, and God's words abide in the words of that preacher. Then we're supposed to, number two, receive it with mindfulness. In Acts 17, and verse 11, write this down. It says, "These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word of God with all readiness of mind." They received the word of God with all readiness of mind. They weren't daydreamers. They weren't blocking it out. They had a ready mind. We need to receive God's word, number one, as the word of God, then number two, with mindfulness. They received the Word of God with all readiness of mind. They didn't have preconceived ideas. They didn't have their minds occupied with everything they have to do this afternoon or next week. And then they searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. So they took what God's men gave them and preached to them and taught to them with a ready mind. They just soaked it in. They were just like riveted to the Word of God when it was preached, and then they went home, and just to be accurate, they searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. So number two, receive it with mindfulness. And now turn to James 1 and verse 21, because I want to illustrate this verse. Number three, they received it with meekness. They received it with meekness. James 1, that's in the New Testament, and verse 21, says it this way, "Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness." That means the overabundance of the sin from your past that has still spilled into your Christian life. Lay that stuff apart. And it says, "And receive with meekness." The word meekness here means mildness of disposition, gentleness of spirit. We're supposed to, with a mild disposition, receive the word of God. Meekness refers to a person who can just gently and mildly take God's word, and they don't put on an obstinate face. They don't harden their heart. They don't, stare back and say, "I dare you to bless me. I dare you to teach me something I don't know." No, they were supposed to receive with meekness the, notice this word here, this is the whole sermon, engrafted word. The engrafted word, which is able to save your souls, but be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. That's synonymous for a mirror. He looks at himself. And then as soon as he walks away, he forgets what he saw. He beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, that's the Bible. The Bible is the law of liberty. Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." The Bible, the truth, liberates people. It sets them free. It sets them free from their past. It sets them free from sin and temptation and weakness and the flesh and faults. The Bible is the law of liberty. And notice this, if a person continues therein, he not being a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. It says in verse 21 that we ought to receive the word of God with meekness. So receive the Bible as the word of God when it's preached and taught, even in the public services, or when you open it at home and read it, say, "This is the word of God. God is going to speak. God manifests his word today through preaching." Titus 1 and verse 3, it's one of the tools God has chosen to use. And let God be God. He uses men, and he uses their voices. And Peter said, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. We shouldn't come and say, "Let's go hear what Pastor Cole has to say today." We should say, "Holy Spirit, speak through him. As he's preaching the word of God, speak to me." But then the same Holy Ghost says, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. But rather, verse 21, receive with meekness the engrafted word. The engrafted word. I've been saved a long time now, about 38 years, and I never studied the word engrafted until this week. I got out my Strong's Concordance and my computer program there, and I started to look into this word engrafted. And if you want to take a pen and write this in your Bible next to verse 21, circle the word engrafted. Here's what the word engrafted means. Quote, implanted by another's instruction. Implanted by another's instruction. Now notice, that can save your soul. Somebody, I hope, has come up to you one time in your life and implanted by their instruction the gospel in your heart, and that you received the gospel with all meekness, and it saved your soul. So verse 21. But then it goes on and it says, let's continue in the word of God. Continue in the law of liberty. Continue to be doers of the word, not just hearers only, but doers of the word. And I got to think about this word engrafted, and I want to just try to illustrate here with you today what that means. This word engrafted is a derivative of the word found in Luke 8 and verse 8, where it says the good seed was planted in good soil, and it sprang up and bore fruit. You see, almost every truth you have ever learned has been implanted in you by someone else's instruction. Very few of us have ever had an original thought. You think about that, that's true. I don't care if it's 1 plus 1 equals 2. Somebody implanted that knowledge in you. And it's the same thing with the Bible. I don't know of anything I know about the Bible, but that I can read in some commentary from somebody who wrote 200, 300, 400 years ago, who already knew it and just passed it down to us. But that word cannot be implanted in our hearts. That knowledge cannot be implanted in our hearts by another person's instructions if our hearts are hard. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. So I want to try to illustrate this. I have here an object lesson. I hope this table will hold it. This is a piece of dirt. All right? It's a heavy piece of dirt. It's got a bunch of weeds and grass growing in it. I want you to notice something about this dirt right here. It's as hard as a rock. You wouldn't want me to throw this at you today. That thing is as hard as a rock. And I would probably get all of you to agree with me today that you can't plant anything in that right now in its current condition. You can't plant. I mean, there's some weeds and grass growing up in there. That's not a very pretty sight right there. This is a picture of a person's heart. We've seen verses here that talk about how the heart is like soil. And the Bible says, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. In Jeremiah 4 and verse 3 and Hosea 10 and verse 12, both of those verses in the Old Testament say this. It says, break up your fallow ground and sow to yourselves in righteousness. Break up your fallow ground. F-A-L-L-O-W. That's a Bible word that talks about hard ground. It says, break up your fallow ground. The only way I could plant something in this, and I could, is I would have to break this up. On the farm, we had greenhouses, three greenhouses, and we used to have this machine that was called a shredder. A shredder was only about this big. It had a big generator in it, and you turned it on, and it had these blades that would just start flying around inside that were huge. You wouldn't want to put your arm in it. It was the same concept as what you see sometimes driving along on the road, and you see guys on the side of the road taking tree limbs and throwing it into the shredder, and they throw it in whole, and it just shoots up onto the truck. Have you seen those? We used to have one on the farm about this big, a lot smaller. But what we used to do with that shredder is we used to throw dirt like that in it. Now, we had three greenhouses. You would not believe how much dirt your pastor has shredded in his life. I mean, we get that thing winding up, and that thing would wind up. I mean, it sounded so loud. Now they would tell you to wear hearing protection gear. We didn't back then. We didn't have any caution back then. But we would have to take all that hard dirt and throw it in there and just fly out against the wall. And then we'd put more and fly out and fly out and fly out. It would go from being hard soil to soft soil. And then we'd dump peat moss in, fly in there. And then we'd dump vermiculite in, and then perlite in. Then we'd have to take the thing over, wheel it over here and flip the thing around. And then we'd have to take all four of these items and dump it in there and go out the other way. We're mixing it all up. We were mixing it up so that that soil could be soft, so that soil could have something planted in it. But you can't plant anything in this right here. It's too hard. It's like a rock. The Bible says, break up your fallow ground. Today, if you'll hear his voice, harden not your heart. Why? Because God wants to plant something in your heart today. God wants to plant something in our hearts every time we go to church, every time we go to Sunday school, every time we open our Bibles at home. But if our hearts are hard, God can't plant anything in it. So we have got to come up with some soft soil, or what we read earlier, good soil. The seed is planted in good soil, and it sprang up. It was engrafted. Something was implanted and sprang up. So we have some good soil here. Man, I should have checked out these tables earlier. We may have one big mess here. What's this here? This is the same as that. Dirt. Except this is good soil. Why? This is soft. This has vermiculite in it, perlite in it, peat moss in it. And this one is plantable. We can plant things in this one right here. You can't plant anything in this one. Same stuff. One's hard, one's soft. The Bible says, break up your fallow ground. We could make this into something like that, and you can change your heart, and I can change my heart. We don't have to have hardened hearts. You know, Brother Andy and Jim were out front, and they were working on the sign this week out front, did a great job, put the new bricks around it, and then Andy was out there. I was watching him, and he had all of this dirt we had taken out, and he had this contraption. It was wood like this with a screen underneath it, and he was taking all the soil, and he was pouring it on there. And then he was going like this. And all the soil was running down through the screen. And he was taking the rocks and throwing them out on a pile. And he'd take some peat moss and mix it in there, and he'd take some more soil. Man, I went out there and I planted plants Friday. And that was so easy to plant those plants out there. Now, they don't look like much yet, but a month from now, those are going to be beautiful. It was so easy to plant those plants because the soil was prepared. The soil was prepared. The preacher said to me, pray for me. He said, my heart's so hard. He said, you got done preaching. You preached your heart out, this great sermon. All I felt like doing was getting my hat and going home. He said, my heart's hard. He said, pray for me that I'll have a prepared heart so that I don't want to live this way anymore. Great preacher. Well-known, prominent preacher. Now, you and I can go through the motions at church, too. Not have a single thing planted in us every time we come. We got different types of sermons every time we come to church that God wants to plant in us. Just like we have different kind of plants up here. We got Dusty Miller. I don't know why they named him that. I can get this guy in here. No, can't be planting there, can he? Yeah, he went in there easy. That's going to grow just like nice. Petunias. That's kind of pink. Pink petunia. That'll go over here. Work just real nice there. Get that soil down around there. What do we got over here? That's a marigold. This one's a yellow marigold. It's all kinds of different colors, different sizes. Beautiful flowers. They stink. They help keep the deer away if you plant them around your gardens. Violas. Every sermon is different, isn't it? Every sermon is different. Hope. Some of you think he just says the same thing every week. Dianthus. Pretty. They say it's an annual, but if you leave it in, it'll come up next year. It has a perennial effect to it. Dianthus. That fits in there nice. Hey, here's another Dusty Miller. Once in a while, you got to come back to the same subjects when you're preaching and you got to review things, you know, like prayer and faith and love. You got to just kind of review some of those subjects. And sometimes you got to take them from a different angle. There's a petunia. Last one was pink. Same subject, just a little different flavor, color to it. Here. Put that in there, just like so. It'd be a nice, beautiful garden. This thing's still pretty ugly over here. Bunch of weeds and grass in here. Not much happening. Begonia. Begonia. Most of these are sun plants. This guy likes some shade, but he's just going to have to do. We hope he makes it. Put a begonia in there. What else we got? Another marigold. I already heard that sermon. Yeah, just a different title, a different color. We got that in here. This table is making me nervous up here. Well, look at that. What else we got? We won't put them all in there, but yeah, we'll put a couple more in for time's sake. That does it. Yeah. Get another petunia in here. Some subjects you got to talk about a lot. Because we just are hard-headed. It takes a while for some of them to sink in. You know, I remember when I got rededicated my life to the Lord back in 1979, anything the preacher said, man, I wanted to do it. What was that all about? Preached on prayer. Man, I got to pray. Next week, you preached on tithing. Man, I got to tithe. I gotta study that out. Next time you preach on faith, man, I gotta have some of that faith. I gotta have that in my life. Next week, soul winning, man, I gotta be a soul winner. I gotta learn how to be a soul winner. Next thing, love, you gotta do everything in love. Boy, I gotta get some love in my heart. And the next week, patience. Oh, I gotta get some patience, man. I gotta get that in my heart. I need that. That sermon was right for me, Pastor. Thanks. I really needed that. Man, God just started using that preacher and those preachers I was listening to. They just started planting all kinds of different sermons in my life. And I came to church with a prepared heart. Good soil. Broke up the fallow ground and let God plant food in me, plant plants in me, different subjects. And it's just getting more and more beautiful. Now, this is nothing. You ought to see this in a month. But planting is not enough. What if I don't water this thing? What if I don't give it any sunlight? What if I don't give it any fertilizer or water? You see, that's why it says of those in Berea, they received the Word of God. They had the Word of God implanted in their hearts. But then they searched the Scriptures daily, whether those things were so. They kept adding to that. And that faith that was planted in their hearts, that sermon on faith that was planted in their hearts, didn't just stay that size. They said, we got to study this thing out about faith. And they began to water that seed of faith that a preacher put in their hearts, and that faith started getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Just like these plants will get bigger and bigger and bigger. This is water. This is food. This particular brand is called Miracle-Gro. You take Miracle-Gro. Sometimes people come by my house in the summer and they say, wow, that guy's a really good gardener. No, I buy Miracle-Gro. And I know those who don't. My neighbor never does. His flowers aren't as nice. mix that. Of course, you put it in first and then the water, but if you have anywhere to fill up water, then you actually pour it right on the leaves because it actually soaks into the leaves and the flowers. And this table's going to go down soon. You see, it's not enough just to receive sermons into good soil. You got to water those sermons. You got to water those seeds. No sermon is complete. The pastor preaches on faith. That's to implant a truth in your heart, in the good soil of your heart, so you can then go home and water that subject of faith as you dig into it, as you search the scriptures, whether those things were so, and then that start growing on your own. See, somebody told me to tithe once, but boy, I've studied a whole lot since then. And that tithing plant in my heart is so big, you couldn't pull it out now. And prayer, and fasting, and patience, and love, and gentleness, and so many things. Now, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 5, someday our hearts are going to be presented to God. My dear wife has a birthday Saturday. If I came up to her Saturday with, "Babes, I got you some plants," isn't that going to just thrill her heart? It's going to thrill her heart. That's worthless. We've got the same thing here. We've got plants and soil here. We've got plants and soil here. I go up to my wife Saturday. "Babes, I made you something. I'll give that to you. You like that? You like that, don't you?" She likes my plants. I got them all over the place at the house. Pots and hanging baskets and flower garden, so on and so forth. She's going to like that. Do you agree? Here's a sermon. Someday you're going to present your heart to God. He's going to say, "I tried to work on you all my life, all your life, through preachers, through teachers. But no response was your response." First Corinthians 4, 5, our hearts are going to be presented to God at the judgment seat someday. He's going to say, "I tried to plant in you truth after truth after truth after truth after truth. Hundreds, you heard Pastor Cole preach hundreds and hundreds of sermons and you didn't plant one of them." Soil of your heart. When I stand before God, there's going to be some holes in my garden. I'm sorry about that. But I'm going to stand before God someday. Truth after truth after truth after truth that he's given. Even to this day, if I go to hear a special speaker, I'll try to be the first one to the altar to get the truth implanted in my heart and study it out so it'll grow. Now, I'm not saying you have to physically walk up to an altar to get a truth implanted in your heart. But every sermon that I preach from this day forward, I hope somebody today will remember this illustration. Next Sunday, want to go home and live that. See this guy? He's doing pretty good. This guy's going crazy. This is my friend. He's on my windowsill downstairs. I talk to him a lot. You ever see a geranium that big? That big geranium. You know why? When I bought him last year, he was that big. I put him in good soil. I fed him. Water. Get him sunlight. I spoil him. I prune him when the leaves die. A couple flowers here got to be taken off. That's a beautiful lavender geranium right there. One day, a couple months ago, I took a cutting off of him. I just jabbed it in a piece of soil, good soil. There he is now. You know why he's doing so well? Put him in good soil. Someday, our hearts that Jesus talked about were like soil, going to be presented to God. Now, I don't think we can have an altar call today with all this around. We could try. But the Bible says, today, if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. That thing in a month from now is going to look so beautiful. Pretty nice now. When was the last time a sermon was planted in your heart and began to grow? When was the last time you had your Bible open in the morning before you went to work and a truth was implanted in your heart? It began to grow. Began to grow. The Bible says we should receive the Word of God with meekness, the engrafted, implanted by another person's instruction, that we may grow thereby. I'd like us to bow our heads and close our eyes for a word of prayer. Our Father, help us, Lord. Father, I can't thank you enough for preaching and teaching all the years and years and years where I sat and listened to it, and somebody did me a favor and planted some instruction in my heart. I thank you that those days my heart was soft and the soil was well prepared. It wasn't hard. Lord, I want to stay that way. I believe there's things you want to plant in me the rest of my existence. Lord, I pray for this preacher. I promised him that I would. That he would not go through life saying, no response is my response. When can we go home? Lord, help us. Father, you know me. I don't want sympathy, but you know I study hard. I pray a lot. I've tried to feed this congregation with new truths every week. Many of our teachers have done the same. But Lord, if our hearts are hard, nothing can be planted in it. Lord, please change us. If we hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, help us not to harden our hearts. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.